If I'm not careful, I'm going to end up knocking that into the front row, but we'll see what happens with that. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm excited to be here this morning with you guys. The last time I got the opportunity to preach, we talked about hospitality, and we talked about the foundation, the biblical foundation for hospitality. And many of you noticed it was labeled part one, and I've had a couple people come up to me and say, well, when is part two going to be going to happen? Well, that's today. Today's the day. We wrap it up with part two this morning. But I want to recap. So if you weren't here for part one of the biblical foundation for hospitality, it started with that we are, that God is host, that God the Father is host. And we looked at Isaiah and Psalm 23, and we saw how God hosts the nations, that He hosts us, God the Father. But then we also saw that the Holy Spirit is host, that God the Holy Spirit is host. And we looked through Scripture, and we found throughout Scripture, but we also see that in Romans 14, that we see that that the Holy Spirit works in our heart and lives, and He hosts us. But not only is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son is host. And we saw that through the way He serves, how He came. And we're going to dive a little deeper into that this morning. But we were looking at Mark and Luke, and we saw how God the Son is host. So what's next? So in light of God, in light of who He is, we are all called to be hospitable. This is not just a pastor job. It's not just you're gifted in hospitality or you like people, so you should be around people and you're nice to people, so you be the one that greets people. No, this is a call for all believers, for all Christians to join in hospitality. And so as we move through this coming year, we're going to be creating teams of hospitality teams to help people feel welcome, to serve others. But if you're not on a hospitality team, that doesn't mean you get to check the box off and go on about your business. Now, we'll see this morning that this idea of hospitality is for all of us. So if you're ministering in the children's wings, and you're called to be hospitable to those that come, to the children that are under your care. If you're ministering in the youth ministry, guess what? You're called to be hospitable to the children that will come, the parents that you'll be interacting with. If you're in adult ministry, you're called to be hospitable to all people. So I really want you to pay attention this morning. If you're like me, you may have had a rough night. You may not have gotten a lot of sleep. And in fact, my mom told me this morning, she's probably going to kill me after saying this, but my mom told me this morning that I needed to make sure I was lively this morning or else she was going to fall asleep, because my mom and dad were awesome. They took care of my middle child, Shelby, which Shelby did not have a good night. So bless her, thankful for her, but she didn't get a lot of sleep. So when I thought about that, to be honest, is I can only be as lively as I can be, and hopefully I'll keep your attention. But to be honest, I don't really want your attention. Hopefully I'm not the one that keeps you awake this morning during the message. My prayer has been that the Holy Spirit keeps you awake, that you hearing the Word of God preached keeps you awake. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit works in your life and you start to come to the knowledge of Him if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. Or if you know Him as Lord and Savior, you look for your next step. So my prayer is that your eyes would stay awake and open this morning because of what the Holy Spirit is doing, not what I can do. You'll see on your outline this morning that what is the next step? Next step of hospitality is serving the needs of others. So we established there's a biblical foundation. What we are doing is not to drive up numbers, is not to just make people feel good. It's not about consumerism. It's about Scripture. It's about being faithful to the Word of God. And so what is the next step? And as Pastor Kevin is preaching our Vision 19, our big idea is next step. What is your next step? Because we all have next step. I have next steps. You have next steps. So what is that next step of hospitality in your life? And it really begins with serving the needs of others. Let's dive into the scripture. The first point there is hospitality takes being a servant. Hospitality takes being a servant. So we're going to be in three primary passages this morning. You'll see on your outline Philippians 2, then we'll be in 1 Peter, and then John. But first, let's start off in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. I want to stop right there. This is Paul preaching to a church. This is a man preaching to a real church. This is not theoretical. This is not abstract. This is Paul preaching to a real church with real people. And he's calling them, make my joy complete by being of one mind. And we look in this room, and we're all, most of us, we come from similar culture, similar backgrounds. Some have very different cultures. Some have very different backgrounds. But when I think about the situation in which Paul was writing, I don't know if we quite have the diversity that he may have had in the Philippian church. But yeah, he's calling them to a singular mindset. And then when he says, if there is any encouragement, this idea of encouragement is an act of emboldening another in belief. So it is that was boldening in building up to bolster someone else in Christ. How can we have a similar mindset? It's because of who Jesus is. It's not because we like the same things. It's not because we come from same backgrounds. It's because of we love the same one. Do you love Jesus? Do you have faith in Him? Have you put your trust in Him? Because when we do, this can be a reality for all of us, is to have that kind of unity. Complete my joy. In verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. This is amazing. I don't know if you underline in your Bible, but I do. And this is one of those passages that are underlined in my Bible. That my mindset is not about Jason, not about my wants, my desires. It's about the needs of others. How can I serve others? And this is why we say hospitality takes being a servant. That we have come to serve. And this sounds pretty harsh. If I called you up here and said, you are to serve. You're to serve the church. You're to serve me. You're to serve others. And that sounds really harsh. But the thing is that Jesus isn't calling you to anything that he hasn't already done. Let's continue on. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. I just want to stop and thank Pastor Sean, leading the team up here and leading us in singing songs of worship. How we're singing to praise our Savior. I love being a part of a church that our songs just aren't about feeling good and about a general idea of God or general idea of Jesus, but we're specifically calling out to Jesus. We're specifically raising and praising the name of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing that we have Pastor Song to lead us in those songs, because it is in the name of Jesus that we can be who God has called us to be. It's not in our power. So we have the mind of, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, that he emptied himself and he became a servant, the God of the universe. This has blown my mind for years, that the God of the universe would come and be a servant. Like something that we continue push back against. We want to be served. We want to be the one that is important. That's not just now, it's always been the case. That our pride will rise up and we want others to think well of us. We want others to see us in a certain light. And to be honest, I struggle with this sometimes, especially in ministry. I want people to see me and think, man, he's doing a great job. Or, man, wow, he works really hard. But guess what? That's really not where my concern should be. Because then that starts, pride starts building up. What if I get those praises? But what if I don't? See, my ministry could hang in the balance of compliments or not. But if it's rested in Christ and who he is, if I am a servant, then it doesn't matter any kind of compliments I get. It doesn't matter any accolades or any attention. Because I don't do it for that. Right? When we serve because Jesus served. See, hospitality takes being a servant. And this morning, I pray that you will wrestle through this idea of servant. Are you willing to be a servant? This is not an easy task. It's not something to take lightly. Again, in the power of Jesus, you can. In your own power, you may be able to do it once or twice, but it's probably not going to be for pure motives, right? Verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What did we just sing this morning? We sang about the name of Jesus being exalted. We sang about knees bowing to Jesus. Right from Scripture. My prayer again is that you would pay attention this morning, that the Holy Spirit would speak to your hearts this morning, awaken your mind and your heart. And so we see that hospitality takes being a servant. I want to run through the next set of scriptures there is starting in verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, not you, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, if you are a believer in Christ this morning, this is not a message about try harder, do better, do more work. This is about resting in Jesus and coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to have the mindset that you have, where I've been born again so that I can serve others. I've been blessed so I can bless others. Please don't hear me this morning of adding burden to you or adding anything to your plate. Because many of us have a plate where we've stacked many things on. Kind of like when I go to a buffet, right? Anybody with me? When you go to the buffet and you're at the end of the line, your plate is kind of, you have to keep things from falling off the plate. Nobody? All right. Maybe I'm the only one. I'll confess gluttony later. All right. We'll do that. He continues on in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. And that we're the light. Guess what? When Paul was speaking to the Philippian church, that there was a dark and twisted generation. But guess what? We live in a dark and twisted generation, and we have been called the light of the world. Are you the light of the world in your world, in your sphere of influence? The people that you know, that people that you work with, the people that you do life with, are you the light of the world or do you bring darkness? See, as believers, we're called to bring light. And he says that they're to serve one another without grumbling or disputing. Again, what I'm talking about this morning as far as hospitality, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. But is it worth it? Jesus thought it was worth it. That he would come as a servant. See, Christians, you'll see there, Christians are to have the heart of a servant. The heart of a servant. But also, hospitality takes humility. Let's look at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And instead of starting in verse 9, I'm going to back up a few verses and start in verse 7, actually. It says, "The end of all things is at hand." Man, there sometimes it feels like that. The end is near. I hear that from some people that, you know, the end is drawing near. Well, guess what? Peter thought so too. And I don't say that haphazardly. I say that because that's our mentality, is that the end is near. Jesus is coming. He will return for his bride. And so the end is near. So what does that mean for us? Therefore, since the end is near, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Again, this idea of we do it, we serve because we have the right heart of a servant, the attitude of a servant. See, without grumbling, it has a right attitude. See, the Christians are to have an attitude of a servant. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we are gifted by God, when we have been given blessings and gifts of God, it is not for our own purpose. It's not for our own benefit. But it is for the benefit of the body. It is the benefit for others. And we're to do it with glad hearts. Man, when I think about this aspect of servanthood and a humility, I think back to Israel. And how what God truly called them to. He called them to be a light to the nations. He called them to be servant as he was servant. But their pride got in the way. Many times they failed over and over again. I read the book of Judges, and I read it with some laughter, but I also read it with some heartache. Because I read it with laughter in the sense of, how dumb can you be? Like you see God has blessed you, and then you serve God, and then you fall away from God. Then you serve God, you cry out to God, and he rescues you, and then you fall away again. And it's this constant up and down roller coaster of an experience, right? But then it breaks my heart too, because then I look in the mirror, and I'm often seeing the same thing. How dumb can I be? How can I not be faithful to God when he has always been faithful to me? How can I not be bold in my faith in Jesus and share it with others when he has loved me? And I know who I am. So hospitality takes humility. Are we willing to see others better than ourselves? You'll see this morning too that the verses really all coincide with one another. These points go straight together. Christians are to have the attitude of a servant. And then this last point here is hospitality takes action. Hospitality takes action. And this, we're going to be in John chapter 13. Many of you have heard this story. Some of you may have not. But this is a beautiful story. So chapter 13. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father." So let's stop right there. Just make sure we note, he knows what's about to come. He knows what's coming for him. He knows he's about to go back. So think about for you. In your last days, if you knew the end was near, more than just, I got to take one day at a time. If you actually knew that it is coming from a week from now or days from now that I'm going to be with God, would that make a difference? Would that change the way you lived and act? Would it make you more selfish or less selfish? Here's what Jesus did. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Beautiful. Verse 2. "During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." I just want to stop and help you get that picture in your mind. Jesus is there with his disciples, and he knows the one that is about to betray him. But yet he does what a servant, again, this idea of servant, he again portrays himself. Not only did he come in the form of humanity, that would have been enough. It would have been enough for him just to descend and become humanity and live as a king in a royal palace away from everybody else, away from the dirt, the disease, the dirty, the unclean. That would have been enough, right? But he chose not to just come as a man and then die, but he chose to come as a man and live amongst his people where they are dirty, where they are unclean, to serve. How beautiful is this? I mean, sometimes it's hard for me to serve my own family, much less people that I know that will hurt me. I know that will not trust in me. That's our God. That's what he's called you to. That's what he's called me to. It's to love those and to serve those that will hurt us, even those that hate us. That our life is supposed to be so dramatically different than the world, is that we would even love those that would hate us. Because guess what? In this world, you don't have to be a Christian to love those that love you. It's fairly easy to love those that can give you things or to love those that show you love. But what is hard is to love those that have hurt you, right? Many of you have had aches and pains in relationships where you've had people hurt you. How difficult is it to love those people? Absolutely. Again, I'm not saying this is easy stuff, but I'm saying this is what God's called us to. This is the next step for many of us, is to love, is to become the servant that God has called us to be. Not to be a consumer, but be a servant of all. Verse 6, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." He said, "Peter, just calm down. You'll understand." Verse 8, "Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet." I love Peter because he's so open and honest and so forward and bold. And he sees Jesus, he loves Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, no, you can't get before me. You can't do that." Like that's what servants do. You're above that, Jesus. Jesus has a very different idea. Simon Peter said to the Lord, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Can you imagine this? Kneeling in front of the disciples is the Son of God, the creator of the universe. And he washes his disciples' feet. Peter gets up. Then the next disciple comes. And then the next disciple comes. And the next disciple comes. And then at some point, Judas Iscariot comes and sits before Jesus and allows the Son of God, the creator of the universe, to wash his feet, knowing full well that he's looking down and he's betraying the one that has come, not trusting in him. I can't imagine that. One of the things I wanted to do this morning is, so hospitality takes action. See, Christians are to follow the model of Jesus. I'm going to ask my brother John to come up. Yeah, brother John, that's you. Sorry. Mr. John Nettles. So like I said, with Jesus, he washed Judas's feet. And he washed his disciples' feet. This is a little easier for me in the sense that this is my brother, whom I love, whom I care for. But I think about it in the sense of, would I even be able to do this for the one I strongly dislike? Maybe you don't want to use the word hate. Would I be willing to do this? See, my heart this morning, let me take off your shoes, is that you would kneel. You would kneel before your Savior. You'd be willing to be submissive to His will. That you would serve where He's called you to serve. That you would experience the joy it is to actually serve others as opposed to be served. See, I took a trip to Honduras. And in that trip of Honduras, I think I've said this before, but I was assigned to foot washing. And I really thought that meant to go and serve others, which that's kind of, you know, symbolically, that could be what it meant. But no, they were literally talking about foot washing. And so in Honduras, I had the opportunity to go up to men and ask them, can I wash your feet? And like many people, and even some people here, you would be like, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And they had the same reaction. But there were some that said, yeah, I'll let you wash my feet. And I was able to tell them about the story, how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And then after he served them, after he washed his disciples' feet, where did he go? He went to the cross to die for the feet that he washed. This morning I'll ask you, are you willing to wash feet? Maybe literally or figuratively. Are you willing to serve others? John, would you mind putting your feet in? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hopefully this morning, that it wasn't hard to keep your eyes awake, eyes open. But hopefully it wasn't because of anything I said or anything I've done. My prayer is that God has worked on your heart. Now he's speaking to you. True hospitality only happens when we have submitted to the lordship of Christ. See, some may think, I'm too good for that. I'm too good to serve those. Sometimes in men, we have a pride issue. And not that ladies, you don't too, but sometimes our pride issue shows it in different ways. And we feel like, I can't serve. I can't serve my family. I got more important things to do. I can't serve those that are underneath me at work. You know, do you know my title? Do you know my paycheck? That I'm more important than that. Do you know my rank? Do you know who I am? Sometimes we have this mindset of those people are beneath me. That job is beneath me. That task is beneath me. But again, if you're a believer, if you have submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, then I would ask you to look at Jesus. It was beneath him to serve in the truest sense of the form. That it was beneath him to come as a man. It was beneath him to take the form of a servant. It was beneath him to die on a cross. But he did what was beneath him to the glory of God. When we show hospitality, when we serve as Jesus served, when we have the mind, the heart of a servant, the attitude of a servant, and we follow the model of Jesus, man, there's true glory in that. But not glory for ourselves, but glory for the one who actually deserves it. It's glory for Christ, for God. See, when He is Lord and Savior, then I can be the servant that He's called me to be. I can have the humility that is found in submission to Christ. And I can take the next step of action to practice hospitality. So as Sean and the praise team comes up and closes out our service this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart and in your mind. What is that next step for you? That next step for you may be to come and talk to me or one of our pastors or one of the deacons and talk about salvation, where you want to come and you want to submit to Jesus. If that's you this morning, come. I'll rejoice with you in that. If that's not you and you've already submitted to Jesus and you have another next step, you want to come talk to me or one of the pastors, I'd love to talk to you about that. So as we stand, everybody stand, please. As we stand and sing, I'm excited to see what God is doing in the life of Charleston Baptist.